Welcome back. And these Premier League games this morning, I've just lost the score just when I needed it, but it was 3-2 still in favour of Manchester United after they were down 2-0 at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea. And it's getting very late in that game. Yes, we're in stoppage time. And United leading, gosh, Chelsea, they've just been dismal. 12th on the table and blowing a 2-0 lead there at Stamford Bridge very late on. Liverpool beat Sheffield United 3-1 earlier. Joshy Reynolds joining us this morning, and also joining us none other than Fox League's Yvonne Sampson. How are you, Yvonne?
Oh, good morning, boys. How are you all?
Very well. Staying dry. We're here at Royal Randwick, but we're staying positive that all will be sweet tomorrow, and looking forward to getting your tips. And also, I'm sure Uncle Laurie will have something for us a little bit later.
Are you out here tomorrow, Vaughn?
Oh, I wish, but Super Saturday calls. So as we have a pretty good setup at Fox, I've got to say, especially through these big race meetings. So we have two screens of rugby league, and then we have about two screens of racing going on. So we don't miss the action, but no, I can't get trackside, unfortunately.
Let's start with last night, Vaughty, and an interesting game. It was certainly very entertaining, and the Storm got away with it in the end, 34-32 against the Broncos, who suffered the loss of Adam Reynolds.
Oh, my gosh. That was some of the best tries we'd seen so far, I think. Ezra Mamm has just ignited this electric running game. When he takes off, you think anything's possible. And, I think defensively he was rock solid as well. I absolutely love him. And so many points. It was just end-to-end. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of that game, Kevin Walters in his post-match press conference said that you can't score 32 points and still lose. It's completely unacceptable. So they didn't deserve to win in the end. But it was very entertaining. But I guess we're all on the edge of our seats at the stroke of halftime. Adam Reynolds had that knee-on-knee collision with Munster. And then it didn't seem that bad. Like, he was hobbling around. But then when they cut to the sheds at halftime and he was visibly upset, he was in tears and you thought, oh, no, this is bad. You thought this is probably something he's been carrying for a while, maybe putting off surgery. Maybe this was the moment that he thought, well, I'm going to spend a fair bit of time on the sideline here. The word was it was a hamstring issue, but it's probably been compounded by maybe an MCL issue that's pre-existing. So he's getting scans today. But, I mean, if you take Reynolds, Payne Haas and Reece Walsh out of the Broncos, they've got to work out who they are without those. Because I think, you know, politely, you'd put those three in the top 10 players in the NRL. So, Broncos are going to have a tough time going forward. But because they've got the Dolphins in the Battle of Brisbane next week, which is such a major occasion up there. And I've got to say, for the Storm, that was the first time we'd really seen their spine play together properly for a long, long time, really, given how poor old Ryan Pappenhausen's hardly played in the last few years. So with Paps and Hughes, who was amazing, Harry Grant and Cameron Munster back in the 5-8, said it's super exciting to feel them all together for the first time and you know, fully fit as well. He said it feels really tight at the moment. It's almost like you're trying to try on the wrong size shoe. He goes, but it's going to work. You know, we're very excited. We're building. And even old Bellamy gave Munster an A report card last night. So, no, it was a fantastic game.
Yeah, what do you make it more made of Melbourne's start? Because they're 3 from 4, and you throw a bye in as well, but they still haven't, I don't know, grabbed me as such as a premiership contender. But you look at their squad and you think, oh, they've got so many good players in there that they could turn it on, but I just haven't seen enough of them. Even last year, I thought they were a level below some of the other teams.
I was going to say, even last year, they didn't really blow my hair back. But you just expect that they will because it's the Melbourne Storm. But I think last year, their forwards were very underwhelming. So I think what we were looking for this year is to get that meterage and get them something to play behind, because their forwards really just got monstered week after week. And you know, we were always talking about, when's Ryan Pappenhausen going to come back? Is this Craig Bellamy's last year? So we had other things to talk about, but I think the Storm's forwards sort of got off a bit scot-free last year. But, yeah, you're right. They haven't blasted anyone away, but they really don't need to at this point. But I expect them to be always there when the whips are cracking around September.
Yeah, they'll always be thereabouts for me, Vonnie, I feel. An interesting topic from Bulldog actually brought it up this week about possibly getting rid of the long kickoffs to get rid of the contact. What's your thoughts on this one, Bonnie?
Oh, I mean, it's from a safety perspective, those high velocity impacts, you'd imagine they're going to be worked out of the game. And that's, I think, why the NRL brought in the short kickoff option, just to try and get teams comfortable with the idea of bringing in the short kickoff, because if you have two players travelling at speed in that high impact collision zone, it's hard, because it's how we market the game. You know, we took it to Vegas and it was part of the biggest hype reels that we could sell the game. So I understand that we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Like, you can't trade off a collision and then try and work it out of the game. That doesn't work. But you can see the NFL, they've got rid of any of those high speed impacts. Because CTE is a real danger and it's a real issue. And I think for the longevity and the player welfare, they will eventually try to minimise the damage of those two players running at speed at one another. We had an incident a couple of weeks ago now, Poata Farmasili, and Cam McInnes caught him. He was off the kickoff and caught him. And it was a really bad... It was absolutely accidental, but, I mean, it's just something that you go, whoa, are we still doing this? But I just can't imagine the game without the kickoff, without the long kickoff. I can't imagine the strong returns being ushered out of the game. So, I don't know. I think for player welfare, we've got to seriously look at how we do it. Will it become extinct? Maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think eventually, Vonnie, it might go down that path. But I would prefer, and again, I'd prefer it at lower levels if you're going to do it, rather than at that elite level. And I know at the elite level, the contact and the physicality is a lot heavier, but I don't know. I think it would take away a lot from our game. I really would. Just if you had a kickoff there's no kickoff, you just place the ball. Imagine starting an Origin, right, your ball, and you just place it on the ground and play it. Like, really?
It's one of the biggest things about Origin, that first kickoff. I remember Danny Badira's flying down and whacking Webke. It sits in my head forever. And I just, as you said, Ronnie, I can't see it getting away from the game.
I just think it adds to the contest. But I just trying to picture the grand final starting. Because you know what annoys me in rugby? When they kick off or drop out and it goes out on the full, everyone's expecting this big collision or a big something to happen at the start of the game, and they kick it out and then they go and line up for a line out. And like, it takes about a minute or something before something occurs. Like, if you just play the ball...
it'd be a terrible way to start a game. No.
Well, how do you get any momentum? How do you get ready to go? Like, the kickoff, if you're a receiver, mate, your heart's running at a million miles an hour, and if you're a defender, you're rushing down and you're trying to do your best. I don't know. Anyway, that's for other people to decide.
Bonnie, let's talk Dragons. And I know it's a highly spoken about topic in your household, but Zach Lomax, so he will be leaving at the end of the season. And Ben Hunt, a story in the Sydney Morning Herald today, he actually could extend, which is a huge turnaround from where we were at a few months ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. How good's rugby league when you've got, I want out, I don't want anything to do with the club. And it was a really awkward time for Ben Hunt last year. Is he going to stay? Is he going to try and get a contract back in Brisbane? Does he want to move back to Queensland? And now here we are, 6 months later, and he's like, happy as Larry. And in fact, I'd like to stand for a lot longer, thank you. And then you read the, if you can read tone, I mean, the fact that Zach Lomax has been released for those final 2 years. So as you said, Mido, from next year onwards, he will be playing somewhere else. And the Dragons go, yeah, good as gold. See you later. So they weren't willing to fight or to put their foot down to keep Zach, but they absolutely, it was a non-negotiable for Ben Hunt. And Shane Flanagan said as much yesterday. He said, look, this isn't the same situation. Ben has nothing to do with Zach. And we now know, like, the SMH has reported that Zach has gone and had dinner with Brad Arthur and his family on Wednesday night, and the Eels coach confirmed that he had him in his house and they spoke about their future. And, Para are a little bit thin on the outside backs at the moment, so Zach Lomax could be a good fit for Para. The Roosters have said they're probably out, But, you know, who knows? And Shane Flanagan said he doesn't need that player swap. You know, we've seen that at a couple of clubs because he actually needs the $800,000. If they're going to start rebuilding this roster, you know, cash is king for Flano. And we know that he's met with Wallaby Jordan Petaia. And if they're putting a very attractive package together for someone of that calibre, then you're going to need every cent. So, it feels like they're going to wish Zach all the best. And, you know, whether he's not a fit personality-wise, whether he's not a fit for the team, whether he's not... You know, like, I think if you read what Roger Tuivasa-Sheck has said in terms of his positional change and said, when I came back to the Warriors, I don't want to disrupt what you guys have done. I don't want to disrupt what Chance has done. I will play wherever the team needs me to play. My priority is to win a premiership. That's what I want to come back and do with the Warriors. And that's not really the same narrative that we've read about Zach. He's not that happy being out on the wing. He sees himself as a different kind of player. He has more potential than he believes a winger can get. So he's looking for more options. So, yeah, for Flano to say, yep, best of luck to you. Thanks for everything. We'll see out this year. And then, you know, good luck with the rest of your career. It's, it's an interesting time for the Dragons.
Yeah, it's probably the most exposure I've seen for an outside back being moved around in a long time. You know, it's always about the halves and the front rowers. But, yeah, Zach's definitely taking the headlines there, Vonnie. But on to tonight's game. My beloved Doggies take on the Roosters, looking to bounce back. 20 years since the 04 grand final. Do you give us a chance, Vonnie?
Oh, do you know what, Grubby? I liked how they got out and made the Bunnies uncomfortable. They attacked Good Friday. And I know that Seraldo said, it doesn't take any courage to chase the game when it's gone. But at the end of the day, I didn't think that the Bulldogs were disgraced, especially when you throw in that they lost Josh Adokar to that concussion on the stroke of halftime. And Jacob Preston played on with a broken jaw. Like, it's a pretty courageous performance. And I think we're seeing some really good and brave signs out of what the Blue and Whites want to do. So I really like the Dogs. And look, the Roosters, they are favourites, no question about this, and they're only enhanced because they get that no-nonsense prop Lindsay Collins back, who's one of my favourites. But I still think the Roosters are a little inconsistent. I've got two of the best halves sitting here, but in terms of Sam Walker and Luke Kieran, if you throw Sandon Smith into that mix as well, the Roosters, they speak about the Rooster way a lot, but we really haven't defined on what their attacking style is, and it seems still a little bit patchy. I know we're only 4 or 5 weeks into the season now, but if you're Trent Robinson and you're looking at those three and the chemistry and the speed and the vision of which they attack their sets, who do you think you're leaning towards?
After what I saw with Sandon Smith and young Sam Walker, where they played together a couple of weeks ago against South, you're nearly going that way. But I'd never want to write off a wonderful player in Luke Keary, but I don't think Luke's been the same since he suffered those head knocks. I just don't think he's the same player, and understandably as well, because one more serious knock could end his career. But they just seemed to, I don't know, they looked a little bit better and smoother with Smith and Walker in the halves.
Yeah, they match each other well, don't they?
Yeah.
One thing I find with the Roosters is with them two playing in the halves, in Keary and Walker, their kicking game isn't long. Both of them haven't got the longest of kicking games. So I find if Roosters don't win the field position battle, they can't kick him out of trouble. Like a Mitch Moses, he'll kick you out of trouble if you're off the back foot.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I find with the Roosters, with them two in the halves.
Well, the other thing is, I reckon, is that if you're playing against the Roosters, Sam Walker's improved in this area, by the way, as well. But if you're not going anywhere, you still can get momentum if you go to an edge.
Mm.
Like, you can get momentum through a Keary or get momentum through a Walker. So Smith looks a bit more robust in terms of the way he defends. But, when you've got three people to choose from, it's always hard coming up with the right combination. And Robbo's been around a lot longer than what we have and watches them very closely, so he'll have a greater understanding. But I think the Roosters have got to back up from a poor performance last week. I was not unimpressed, but I was anticipating
totally
a lot more
from them. Weren't they, by the Panthers?
Yeah. I'll tell you what though, Vonnie, DCE,
yeah.
Can you believe it?
Oh, my
The most capped player for Manly, and who would have thought he'd be one of the most loved players after only a couple of years ago when he looked like he was heading to the Titans?
Hasn't that followed him around? I mean, DCE's lived his career in both the light and the shade, and now he's come through it, and you're right, and now he's up in the honour roll alongside Cliffy Lyons as the most capped Seagull player of all time. But I've got to say, there's a little asterisk there, because the great Steve Menzies, he's actually got 349 games in total, but 69 of those were for the Northern Eagles, so they don't count. But, I mean, the beloved Beavers still up and around there. But, yeah, for DCE, he's reinvented himself, and we've watched him grow up over all this time. And he was a little bit prickly with the media, and he was a little bit funny with everyone. And then when he was on the outer in Queensland for Origin, and then he was on the outer because he did the backflip of the Titans and all that sort of stuff. But they love him, and he's grown up, and he's also their most capped skipper of all time, so taking over from Jamie Lyons. So it's a pretty amazing journey that Daly's been on, and also a good lesson for all players, and really anyone, that you don't always have to stay the same. You can reinvent yourself, you can change, you can grow, and people will accept you the way that you are. And here he is being heralded as one of the club's greats. And I tell you what, Manly, last week, have you ever seen them play worse? So they need to have a response. That they looked like they'd never played rugby league before last week against the Dragons. They had 49 missed tackles and 15 errors. So that, like, their completion rate was so poor. I think they dropped the ball almost every second set. It was dreadful from the Manly Seagulls. So they're up against the Panthers. It's going to be a big game. But, I'm very much congratulations to the Queensland captain and Manly captain, Daly Cherry Evans.
What are you and Uncle Laurie betting on?
Oh, so we've been on the text. It's been running red hot. So actually, we're going to go out and see Winx's filly go around on Monday at Inglis, which I'm very much looking forward to. Oh, I see you boys there. Okay, so Australian Derby, race 9, number 4, Cap Ferret or Cap Ferrat?
Cap Ferrat.
Cap Ferrat, there you go. Oh, like Robbie Ferrat, got it.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good.
And also, so that's Uncle Laurie's all in. But I have to say, a throw in for my good mate, Greg Alexander Brandy. He's got a horse in the Derby. He's come in. Number 12, Hooligan Tommy. It's well outside. I think it's about
100 to 1.
Yeah, 100 to 1. $18
the place.
I didn't think he was into his horses.
Johnny Sargent trains.
Yes. So Brandy doesn't really, like, you know, he likes, he enjoys his racing, but this is really sort of the first good horse he's had. So, and I said to Brandy last night, I said, are you going to go out to Randwick? He said, no, I've got to call the Bunnies and the Warriors. So if you hear a change in tone around about the running of the Derby, that will be because the great Alexander has gotten up and caused an absolute boil over in the Australian Derby Randwick.
I think he'll be okay. That's the 3 o'clock game, isn't it?
It is. So what time?
Okay,
are they
the Derby's at 5:15, so he'll be okay.
Oh, okay.
Unless the game goes to Golden Point, and the line's only 1.5, so it's a candidate.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Gosh. Oh, well, good luck to Brandy. And so Uncle Laurie had Cap Ferrar in the Derby, $19, $4.40 the place. That's race 9, number 4. Cap Ferrar was good last start. Nash to ride for Chris Waller. Okay, Vonnie, love it. You have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much.
Boys, stay dry. I can't wait for it.
Okay, Yvonne Sampson, just high drama. It's Stamford Bridge. Unbelievable. Just incredible drama at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League this morning. So Chelsea went 2-0 up after 19 minutes against Manchester United. It was back even at 2-2 by halftime. Then United went 3-2 ahead after 67 minutes. Extremely deep into stoppage time. Chelsea were awarded a penalty. It went to VAR. The penalty was still given. Cole Palmer steps up to the spot, 3-3. A minute later, he scored a winner. So Manchester United have blown it. 4-3 Chelsea in the end. Scenes at Stamford Bridge this morning. Liverpool beat Sheffield United 3-1 in the other game. Thank you to Bowie from Newey on the text line, sending us this via Greyhound Racing New South Wales. So for trainers and patrons, Wentworth Park tonight, April 5 tonight,
will not go ahead due to the inclement weather and the state of the track, and the decision on when the heats of the Ultra Sense and Masters will be run will be made today. So that for Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Wenty Park tonight off. Now, Loz's Bets Friends page. Firstly, morning Loz, happy Friday. I don't expect my multi to go up as I know you're stressed and all the pressure has got to you. But a shout out will do. Lady Laguna into Private Eye into Prost. All to run a place, 99-1. They all have some wet form. And last of all, Mido, you flog. Can you please put more emphasis into your weather report? We have some biblical weather coming and you sound like you are reading a bedtime story. Thank you, Crackers in Albury, for that uplifting text message this morning.
Nice, Crackers.
I do the weather report at 5:30.
Yeah, we're a bit slow at 5:30.
And, you know, I'll do my best. I'll leave it at that.
Well, two things.
Loza, how's Bets Friends
going? I will get back to Bets Friends, but I just want to give my multi a little bit of a bit of love at the moment. So it's race 7, number 5, Aft Cabin to run top 4, into race 9, number 14, Zard Daisy to win. Now, what I wanted people to do is to text in their best wet tracker, all right? Because I put my plums on the line every Friday for this program.
Yeah. Plums.
All right? So, and I cop a lot of stick at times. So I'm encouraging other people to put it in. So I came up with this idea that I could get you up on Bets Friends page on the Big Sports Breakfast. Now, we've had a few technical issues, a.k.a. no staff, to be able to put all those up. But I'm going to work on it over the weekend. And because I've got one of our guys in here at the moment just running around doing a lot of things, he's gradually just trying to put a couple up. So we'll put a couple up today that they will get up. But next week, because over the weekend I'm going to formulate a plan.
Right, an IT plan.
Yeah, an IT plan.
Okay.
And I'll go to the right people. And I'll have it working a bit more smoother next week for day two of the championships.
Okay. There you go. Promises from Loz.
Yeah. And no, not promises. Commitments.
What's
commitments,
an IT plan? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just not with IT and
technology, mate.
Yeah, I know. But like, what's an IT plan? Just can you expand?
Just how we're going to all come together. How am I going to get the messages, then transfer those messages to the IT person. And then the IT person takes that message and then works out the plan.
Right.
That's how it unfolds.
Okay. Yeah, sounded very very impressive, but then when he broke it down, it's just pass the message on.
Yeah, just pass the buck, mate. By the way, the multi-law's paying $11.
Yeah, very popular.
What have you got for us?
Race 7, number 5, Aft Cabin, to run top 4 into number 9, race 9, sorry, number 14, Zard Dozy to win, and that's paying $11.
Okay, Aft Cabin, top 4 in the TJ, Zard Dozy to win the derby, $11. Tab app, tab website, click on sports in today's offers, and you'll find the Big Sports Breakfast best. It's just above Grubb's guarantee.
Someone's just texted in daily, plums, that's generous, more like sultanas.
Right.
The June E. Cheesel. Stick solid, June E. Cheesel.
I tell you what I loved. I actually thought of you because I know you're good mates with him. And it's just something I think you would have done at some stage in your career the other day. Your old mate David Clemmer on Monday, when Gutho misses the kick to win the game for the Eels against the Tigers. And Clem's giving him the old up yours. Yeah. I haven't seen that. I feel like I haven't seen that for ages.
I feel it's something you used to at school. You know, he's just
when the teacher walks away.
Yeah, that's exactly
in front of the group, you get a laugh.
Good on you, Lozzie. You showed him. You know, it was the funniest bit. Like, you could just tell he's watching. Clem, a very passionate guy, loves his footy, wants to win, and you can see him go, yeah. Then he's gone, what do I do? He's gone. Get that in here, Gutho. Realise he's directly on Fox 502 and read away. Cuddled Caesar or Gutho. So there was amazing scenes. And how good was it? I loved it. As soon as I seen it, I broke down and laughed because I'm just like, that is just Clem to a T.
How do you see this game going tonight, though, with Newcastle and the Dragons? With Tyson Frizzell now out with a hamstring injury and 18th man Dylan Lucas, he's expected to come into the 17. And, you know, the Knights have been pretty unconvincing so far, to say the least, coming off their very good back end of the season last year. And The Dragons obviously coming off a good win against Manly, who are awful, obviously, but the Dragons are going better than they were. They certainly look a different side under Shane Flanagan.
Absolutely, and you can sort of see that they're playing for him. Comments after the game from Jack Bird just shows. So Birdie said he's had a pretty bad three games defensively. Flano obviously stuck with him and showed faith in him, and he had a blinder. I think he ran for over 150 and said, like, the faith that Flano showed in me, I wanted to pay him back, and that's what you want as a coach, I'm assuming. You know, players that are just going to, you know, you give them a little bit, you keep them in there for that one extra week, and they play well. And I don't necessarily know if the Dragons were even great that night, Mitter. I think there's about 30 errors in that game. Yeah. So it was a bit of a dour affair, but I don't know about this one. That's one team I'm not convinced with is the Knights. I think they just rely on Kalen a lot, and when Kalen's not fully in the game, if there's a team, like Melbourne done it to them a couple of weeks ago, where they tried their very best to take Kalen out of the game and put bombs up and hit him when he catches the ball, when he's not sort of floating around, I'm just not sure if they've got that strike power like they did last year in those last 10 games. They were just on a roll, and they were rolling teams, but I don't know which way this one goes.
He was good last week, Kalen.
Yeah.
He was good.
When I say that, I just mean that's all. I feel that's probably all they got at the moment, Loz.
Yeah.
If Kalen fires, they're sweet. But if not, where else do they look to?
Yeah, well, they've swapped their halves around.
Mm.
And
Who is it?
Gamble's out this weekend.
What's your thoughts on Gamble?
Last year he was very good. Last year he was good, but just hasn't sort of come up this preparation. You know, horsing terms.
I pointed out the other day with the Newcastle, this is, I think, their third combination in four games.
Yeah.
So,
that's not good.
Great, is it?
No. All right, you're a selector. Ponga or Walsh? Fullback, Queensland.
Oh.
Put the Sultanas out there.
Okay, Ponga or Walsh, as obviously at fullback, we're talking the number one.
Yep.
Can I have them both in the team, though?
Answer the question first.
Okay, I'm going to say, in the Origin arena, I'll go Ponga. I just think he's that bit, he's just tough. Not saying that Walsh isn't, but yeah, I just think he stood up, he played hooker. Man, do you remember his debut?
I remember he played in the middle.
And he was whacking people.
Yeah, he played some.
So I just feel he suits that arena a little bit more. But in saying that, Walsh could light it up. Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit. But I'll go Ponga. How about you?
That's why I asked you the question.
He didn't know.
Oh, you know what? I'm going Walsh.
Ooh.
I think he's a superstar. Yeah,
oh, Walsh?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. So if I'm on a selection board here.
But, you know, the question you posed to me at the start, I'd find a way to have them both in.
Yes. Ponga. So that's where I feel Ponga would be a better 14. So then I'd have Walsh at one. Ponga could, you know, play anywhere.
Yeah.
Bring him on, open up the game.
I've just got to find a position for both of them, I think.
Mm.
Well, I know I would.
Joining us, Sky Racing's Queensland form analyst, Michael Maxworthy. How are you, Maxie?
I'm good, thank you, Mido. Morning, everyone. We're pretty much in the same boat as you guys with Randwick tomorrow. We've got 10 races at Eagle Farm, and the prediction is that we're going to get plenty of rain today. A couple of mils overnight. They had the track at Eagle Farm as a good four yesterday, so we've had a few mils, but today, as you mentioned, with the weather forecast, Mido, for the next couple of days for Brisbane, high chance of showers today, 20 to 40 mils possibly, and some showers tomorrow. So we're looking at a wet track at Eagle Farm.
Okay, and we've got plenty of talented two-year-olds early in the card. Who's caught your eye?
Yes, the two-year-old race is very, very open. We've got a horse trained by David McComb. From the Willembar called Perito. He's by Parada, very much eye-catching in a recent barrier trial in Fast Time. He was made to win the trial, so we saw what kind of engines he's got, and it looks pretty good. So problem is, if we get a lot of rain, having his first start over 1,200 could be a little bit of an issue. So I was going with the racehorse called Zielinski, Mido, number six, trained by Kelly Sweeter. The fact that he's had a run second to Zuna, who's since come out to win again. So I think that form line is probably the most reliable there. But I do think that the safe way to go, I've got one in the first for you.
Okay. And what are your thoughts? We better get your thoughts as well on the group ones in Sydney, Maxie.
Yeah,
what are your best bets down south, just before we get your best and valued Eagle Farm as well?
Yeah, well, obviously it's a great card at Randwick, and you know, on days like this, you can get some, you know, really good prices about some top class horses. So I'm going a little bit wide at Randwick tomorrow, and hoping the TJ Smith obviously is a great race, and I wish I win. Got up, swamped them last year. Different this year, of course, with him, as you've been speaking about over the last couple of days, and the fact that his first start, it's been around about 5 months since he's raced, and Peter Moody has said he's got him as fit as he can without having a race. But it's going to be a big task, isn't it, if we do get to a very heavy track there at Randwick tomorrow. And I just reverted back to Marzu, who's a great wet track. And he was good in this race last year. He was only a little over a length behind I Wish I Win and Giga Kick. I know things haven't been plain sailing for him either, Mido, because he missed a run in the Galaxy. But I thought his first up run was very good. He can stride forward, stay out of trouble there, and you know that he's going to revel in the ground. So I like him, and I'm a stickler for Kovalika. He's going around in the Doncaster Mile at $19.06 to play. So his two runs back have been good, not suited last start in the George Ryder at Wait for Age, yet still good. I think this is his go. The big stretches of Randwick. I don't think the heavy track will be a problem for him. He just needs to wind up in the straight. And under the handicap conditions, he's really well in with only 53.5. So I think both of those are around about $19, Marzu and also Kovalika.
Yeah, Marzu is $19, $5 the place. That's race 7, number 3 in the TJ, and Kovalika in the Doncaster. Race 8, number 7, $19, $6 the place. What are your best bets, Maxie?
Well, the first race at Eagle Farm tomorrow, I really like this mare called Extra Gear at number 11. I think she's the safest bet on the card in Brisbane tomorrow. Now, she's a former Queenslander where her form was a little bit hit and miss, but she's since been transferred to Joe Ible at Kembla Grange. And gee, what I'm seeing is a totally different horse. She won a trial at Goulburn on a soft 7. She beat Front Page. I know Front Page and Wizard of Oz, who finished well behind her, weren't tested in that particular heat. But he was out in front, or she was, this mare Extra Gear, and really looking great. She went to Rose Hill, and she finished third there after that trial to Gold Revolver. We know he's a pretty anti-horse, Gold Revolver, only beaten about a length and a quarter. And obviously Joe's found this race and has given her another trial recently at Nowra, where she won by 8 lengths and swinging off her. So, look, if she can bring those two trials and that third placing at Rose Hill on the 28th of February to Eagle Farm tomorrow, I think she just wins the first. $7 down to 4 already. That's race 1 at Eagle Farm, number 11, Extra Gear. And guys, the other one, we've got to wait probably till later today, because in race 5, I do like 19, Brave Meso, around about $9 or $10. But she's also in race 7 in a similar race, and she hasn't been scratched out of one yet. I'm hoping she runs in race number 5. I think it's the perfect race for her. So at a decent price, I think she's the other nice bet on the card at Eagle Farm tomorrow. Race 5, number 19, Brave Meso.
Okay, yes. As it stands, $9 and $3.10 the place. Inside gate there for Brave Meso. Maxie, enjoy your weekend.
You too, guys. We'll talk next week.
Appreciate it, Michael Maxworthy there. And just a reminder as well, for lovers of horses and racing, even just a free feed, Tab Track Work with the Stars is the event for you. It's next Tuesday, April 9. Head to Royal Randwick. Enjoy watching some of the stars of our sport as they prepare for the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, the Sydney Cup and more. There is complimentary coffee and breakfast. Track work will be taking place, of course, and it is from 6:30 a.m. Tuesday, April 9. Free brekkie, genuine stars of racing on and off the track. Just head to australianturfclub.com.au or contact the ATC for more. Gee, there's a lot going on in here. Come on, you lot. We've got 5 minutes to go.
Yep, just fire up, boys. Fire up.
All right.
DS is here. Marlo's here. Marlo, brush me.
We'll get to him. Steve Hewlett's coming up on Radio Tab. Steve, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
I'm really well. I would know, but it's exciting stuff, isn't it? Let's fingers crossed we can get this meeting going. And look, we'll talk to Mike Wood. We'll talk to the track manager in Brisbane as well. He's Chris Hurley's filling in for Jim Roberts at Eagle Farm. Mick Price will join me. I don't know if you saw a horse of his win last night. Mick Kent Jr., goodness gracious me. Gee, it was impressive on debut. We'll talk about that horse. Peter Moody is going to join me. David McComb and hopefully Danny Williams. But I think Danny might be a bit reluctant to chat because the vets are heading out there to the stables now to inspect that horse. I think they're going to be there in about an hour's time. So we'll have that news, obviously, later in the morning regarding Vandy's boy and whether he'll start or not following that bruised heel.
Okay, yeah, lots to keep an eye on, isn't there? A lot of moving parts today ahead of tomorrow. And, mate, we'll catch your show very shortly. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
I've got Luke Marlowe and Dave Stanley. Right here, and well, it's going to be Stanley. What's going on here? Seriously, Stanley's holding the cans. Marlo's pointing at him. Laurie's claimed he's been brushed by Marlo.
Did you see Marlo brush me?
The salary cap. We've only got one microphone, so we've got to share the same microphone. Morning, Luke.
Morning, DS. Morning, boys. Yeah, I walked in, and the boys were on air, so I just offered my hand out in the olive branch to shake hands, to say good morning to the boys. Reynolds shakes my hand, Middleton shakes my hand. Dudley puts his two hands up, says, no, don't want a bar of you. I'm thinking, he must have the flu or something. He doesn't want to shake
I wanted him to give me 10, as in, well, you know, he's training for the boxing. But he brushed me and went, mate, okay, I'll be back.
He thought you were a crook.
Yeah.
He give you the old, you know.
Exactly right. But that's all right, Marlo. I understand.
I know we've chatted this morning about the
weather. No, I'm fine. I'm ready to roll. Let's do it.
When Minnow's serious like that, look out.
Yeah.
Minnow won't even make it home this morning.
He's staying overnight. He's staying overnight.
He's camping.
Why not?
Actually, staying at the tap house. There's an idea. If the Australian Turf Club, listen, imagine that. Like you see, they've lost that market with Splendour. Imagine that if they just decked out the infield with the, you know, a sort of Splendour in the at Randwick with the tents. You could camp, watch the races, watch some music.
Splendour on the track.
Splendour on the track.
Splendour on the track.
You like that?
What do you think about that?
I think you're an ideas man. I'm tipping the track will be moist if you're lying down on it this morning. But do you know what? Who cares? Who gives a stuff about the rain, boys? I reckon this race meeting tomorrow is just absolutely outstanding. I quite like good banter. In the Adrian Knox over 2,000 metres. I was down at Kembla when it ran in that Group 3 mares race and got speared off the track on the turn, and I thought it was a sensational
run. We got mail in that race.
I'm looking forward to talking about it all on the panel with you, DS, a little bit after.
I like Harlow Mist in that race
we
and
got,
Price.
We got mail.
It'd want to start now, Harlow Mist.
Yeah, well, okay, there you go.
Jeez, okay.
There you go.
Morning to the John Sargent team, Harlow Miss. Morning there over at Randwick. They'll be wearing the tent over here at the Owners Pavilion.
What's your best of the day tomorrow?
Southport Tycoon.
Someone else
Southport
said
Tycoon.
Yes, Ali Mosley was one of her two bets in the Doncaster. I'll be taking her other bet in the Doncaster, Kovalika.
Yeah, Tommy Berry. I've heard older sayings pop up on social media. Because it's a heavy track, you need a good 2,000-metre horse to win this Doncaster tomorrow. If it's a heavy track, testing conditions. So are we going to see those good 10-furlong horses in that Doncaster, or horses that have run well over 10-furlong, run through the line and be strong? And the other one is, as well, with Randwick, that because it's been so dry here, and I'm sure everyone will have their own opinion, and obviously Michael Wood spoke to this morning, but because it's been so dry here, and the water table isn't as high as last year, and he actually mentioned this during the week, Michael Wood, is that this rain that we're getting, whilst it's going to be a heavy track, it's not just going to be sitting there on top. It's actually going to flush right through. So obviously we're going to be dealing with, you know, a very heavy surface, but it's not going to be probably like heavy surfaces we've had in other years when we've had those big weather events, etc.
Right. You mentioned you'll look for something in the Doncaster that could run 2,000, even though it's a 1,600-metre race. Do they say the same thing about if it's a wet track over, say, 1,200? Like, look for something that could run over 1,400?
It's more testing, you're right, Loz. Yeah. I think lightweights are another big thing our listeners should be looking for on the weekend.
Definitely.
If you've got 61, 59 on your back, it's a lot harder. And the TJ, I mean, I wish I win. If this is a dry deck, I'm just saying he'll be too good. He's an A-grade He's just better than them.
Yeah.
But he's first up. He's going to strike a heavy. You know, he does get through it, but when you're not fit, DS, it's a bit harder, isn't it? Yeah.
But he's won over 1,400, hasn't he?
He has, which is what you're looking for.
Yeah. And also, too, because he's not the, you know, the most correct horse with his legs, a wet track's not going to disadvantage him. He's probably actually going to probably enjoy getting his toe in. I think there's a horse in that TJ, and I'm keen to see what they say in the punters panel, but Magic Time. She won the PJ Bell at this event last year.
Yeah.
I think when I want a heavy track, Graham Begg, look out.
What are you making of Imperatrice coming here for the first time?
I'm glad she's here. It's going to be awesome to see that Melbourne form tie in. She's been bashing them up down there. I think the wet takes away some of her brilliance. She's got such a sharp turn of foot and she's such a good sprinter. I think she'd prefer the dry ground, but you can't knock a mare with her record, Loz. She's definitely going to be thereabouts somewhere.
What about the week, boys? We've got Inglis on the weekend, so we'll be out there on Sunday into Monday. You guys will be there Tuesday, back here next week, Breakfast with the Stars. Anyone can come to that, by the way, too. If you're around, if you're coming to Sydney next week for day two of the champs and you're wanting something to do on the Tuesday, early morning here, Randwick, Breakfast with the Stars. They're putting a breakfast on. All the big trainers and jockeys will be here. We'll be back here next week and then counting down to, big championships day two.
Put your hand up for Winx's yearling, DS.
I wonder how much. How much do you reckon it'll go for?
Yeah, she'll
break the
upwards
record.
She will.
Over three?
She will. Nah, not quite.
Okay.
But what would I know?
We'll chat on Monday, boys.
Good on you, DS. Thanks, Lukey.
Have a great weekend, all.